But grab your Bibles. We are going to look at some scripture and as we go through these things. But as we get started, I've got a question I want us to get our minds going. I like to start with the question. You guys know that. So are you guys ready? This is a real brain teaser. Thank you. All right, let's see it. This morning's question to get us started is, what do you want this church to look like a year from now? I prefer more left-handed bald men, but I'm kind of biased. Okay, maybe you have dreams for this church. Those of you that have been in this church a long time, you know, I'm sure there's things that you'd like to see. Maybe you've not been attending long, but we're going to look at this morning. I want you to be thinking about this. What do we want this church to look like a year from now? Because I want to tell you something. It is going to depend more upon what you do than what I do. Do you guys realize that? Like, no, you're the new guy. Just take care of everything. Well, that's not how that works. We are in this together, okay? We've talked about that since we've been here in October, but we're going to look. There's four main things today that I want to look at. I believe the Lord has laid upon my heart. Some are very practical, but they're all going to take the Lord for us to be able to do this, okay? And so the first Sunday of this month, I passed out a sheet with some impossible prayers, okay? And those of you that were here, you received it. I hope you've been praying over that and writing out some prayers, because I want to expect the impossible this year. Okay? Can anybody partner with me and say, you know what, we want to believe and expect the impossible this year, or how many, like, we just want run-of-the-mill, whatever. Okay, no. Okay? If God is a God of the impossible, let's believe him to do some things that humanly we would say is impossible. Is that okay? Yeah. Thank you. There you go. You guys are getting here. Man, we should have started at 10:25. But, so that's what we're going to do this morning, and I'm going to actually pass out, if you weren't here 4 weeks ago, I'm going to pass out a sheet that's got that on there again, along with some things we're going to discuss today, and that's how we're going to close prayer with a time of worship and response. And so we're going to go forward this morning and discuss some dreams, goals, needs that we have, but let's just pray again real quick that I would speak what the Lord wants me to speak, okay? And because listen, what we see now is not what the Lord wants for us. Doesn't mean it's bad. We are just not there yet. You understand that? And even in your personal walk, we talked about this in our series, All In. Okay, we talked about Christ, community, and cause. You're not where he wants you to be yet. None of us are. There's a continuing moving forward with him as individuals, in the same way for churches, organizations. There's a continual moving forward as we respond to the call of God, to his voice, and what he wants us to do. And so that's what we're talking about this morning as we go forward as a church. So pray with me, will you? Lord, God, I ask that these next few minutes that you, Lord, would speak through me. Everything that you want to be said would be said, that it would be said in a way that is clear, in a way that makes sense. And God, I pray that you would convict, you would challenge, but God, just change us. Change us by your word. But Lord, I thank you for this body of believers that you have brought here. God, I thank you for those that may be here that are not followers of Jesus, God, but they are checking things out. I thank you that they are here. And I pray that you continue to work upon their hearts as well and draw them to you. But Lord, we just give the rest of the service to you. God, guide it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So number one, this is going to be something that may not be surprising, but number one thing that I'd like us to believe and pray for this year is church growth. Okay, somebody said, somebody was that bald man in back? Thank you. I won't pick on everybody, just a select few, so if you're new, I wait till you're here for 2 weeks. Yes, I think everybody would agree, we would like to grow as a church, correct? Okay? Yes, there are things we can do, and we're going to talk about, but yes, that also takes the Lord to do that as well. So I think if I said, hey, who wants our church to grow? I'd be like, yeah, hey, sign me up. Yeah, I'd like to, like, yo. Now, if you're someone who's like, I would just rather have 25 people sitting in a room by myself, this may get uncomfortable for you today, and, well, I'm going to stop there. Anyway, so are you praying for the church to grow? Okay. If we want church growth, ask yourself, so what are you doing about it, too? And we're going to come back to that question at the end. What are you willing to do to make that happen? Because if we're just coming and consuming a product on a Sunday and we leave and we don't do anything else, you're not contributing to the church really much at all. We've talked about serving, and people have stepped up to serve, and we thank you for that. Some of you have stepped up just recently and say, hey, you know what? I want to be a part of what's going on. I want to serve. But we're going to look at the first church growth movement in the history of the New Testament church. Okay? In Acts chapter 2, you got to turn your Bibles there. In Acts chapter 2, this was right after the day of Pentecost. If you remember this, Jesus told his disciples, he gave them a very specific mission, which we'll get to in a minute. Then he told them to go to Jerusalem. And he said, hey, wait, though, because I'm going to empower you to do that mission. I know I'm talking fast, but I got a lot to say today, so listen quickly. And this is what happened after the day of Pentecost, right? The Holy Spirit came. He caused quite a commotion. Peter gets up and preaches. And this is what happens after it, okay? After Peter got up and explained, hey, this is what happened here, okay? Acts chapter 2, verse 41, the church growth right here. It says, those who accepted his message, it's speaking about Peter, said that they were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number daily. Well, how much of Vermilion is that? That's a chunk. If we minus the students, what, that's about a third of Vermilion maybe? Okay? I know math is tough, but you guys just nod and, yeah, there you go. I'm not saying we need to pray for 3,000, but here we see the first explosion of the New Testament church. A few verses later, verse 47, and it says, the Lord added to their number daily. Now, 3,000 overnight seems a little impossible, all right, even though that's what God does. But I don't think it's impossible for the Lord to continually to add to our number. Maybe it's not daily. But my prayer for the church is daily we are working towards that. That means we as a church, we as families, we as individuals, as we are investing into lost people in our community and building strategic relationships. We talked about that week number two of All In for Community. Who are we bringing into our lives to impact for the gospel? Right? This will take a concerted effort from all of us. And it seems impossible, but this happened once. And I'm not saying we pray for 3,000, but I'm saying we do pray for growth. We do pray for the impossible. Because God has a habit of doing this. So specifically, what I'm praying for Cornerstone. And with God, this is really going to be a small thing, all right? Praying for new families and praying at the end of the year we'll reach 100 in average attendance again. So, well, that would double us in a year. Yeah, it would. And I think God's able to do more than that. And I have no doubt he can get us there. But will he get us there by the end of the year? Oh, I think he could. You guys have seen it before. So I believe he can do it again. So we need to be praying for new families. We need to be praying for new relationships because that's how it will happen. Right? We can put the best show in town on, but it's going to happen because you guys are reaching friends, you're reaching neighbors, you're reaching coworkers. Okay, that's how it's going to happen. Jesus tasked his disciples, his followers, with a very specific mission. This is familiar to most of you. All right, this is after his death and resurrection. Before he ascended, he had the disciples around him, and he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded. This is the Great Commission. This is what we refer to as the Great Commission, and many of you are familiar with it. My two favorite things of this is, it's not just the command that he gave. The first part of this was, hey, I've got the authority to ask you to do this. That's my first favorite thing of this passage. I've got the authority to ask you to do this. It's not Mark asking you. It's not your pastor asking you, like, hey, it'd be nice if you'd gotten Vermilion, make some disciples and tell people about the Lord and stuff. No, Jesus is asking, he says, I've got the authority to ask you to do this. And then my second favorite thing is the very end of this, he says, and surely I will be with you. Right? He says, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. So he says, number one, I have the authority to ask you to do this, and I promise to be with you at all times. And so church, if we are to grow as a church, we have to embrace this call. We have to embrace this heart for other people. All right, this is our primary cause. We talked about it last week, All In, the cause of Christ. This has got to be the driving cause of our life, is the cause of Christ. Everything else should follow that. Everything else should be subject to that. Do you remember what our job is? Of how Paul, what did he say? What ministry did he give to us? I mean, I'll give out a sticker if somebody remembers this. Message of reconciliation. Yeah, Paul says, this is our message. He said, Jesus came to bring peace, not between man and man. I remember? I explained that, but between God and man, the message of reconciliation, of bringing God and man back together, not counting their sins against them because of Jesus Christ. That's the message that we have. He says, we have that message and we are to be ambassadors with that message. So Jesus says, you are to go to teach and make disciples, and I will go with you. And you are to bring God and man back together. Those are Paul's words. To be an ambassador. Is you want a growth plan for a church? That's all of us embracing our roles as ambassadors to this community. To tell other people about Jesus. And I know that's scary for some of you to think about because you're like, oh, I've got to have all the answers, this, that, and the other. And but remember that promise that I will go with you. Jesus said, I will be with you always. These next three things I'm going to talk about really will help us accomplish this. They really flow out of this, embracing our call to be who that we're supposed to be. Okay? So if we were to grow as church, the second thing we got to have happen is we got to have people step up. We've got to have servants to rise. Okay? We have many people that help. It's very typical in a church for a small percentage to do most of the work. That's very typical. But Cornerstone, I believe we can be better than that. I believe we can have people step up. And we've met last two Sundays with hospitality teams. Okay? We have a lot of people serving already. But we do have people that are not really in their proper roles, but they have a heart of a servant and they're willing to serve anyway. And so we want people, and we're praying for people to step up. Romans chapter 12, Paul's writing, and one of my first messages here, we discussed this at length of us being servants, of us serving, as us leading together. Romans chapter 12, verse 4. Paul's writing says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, you guys realize you got more than one part? Okay, let's do, anybody, Amy, spirit fingers, please. All right. Hard to take the cheerleader out of the girl, isn't it? All right. Woo! Yeah, we got more than one part. If you don't know that, you should probably take a basic biology class or look in the mirror. Yeah, so Paul's describing the body of Christ, okay, the community of believers as a physical body with more than one part. Okay? It says, just as each one of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. You know, it's probably a relief to some of you that you're not called to be up here where I am. Brad, I know you're jealous, but that's okay. Okay? Because God hasn't called all of us to pastor in the way that I am. But he's called all of us to do something. Okay? Some of you are serving in your gifting. You're already in your spot. Some of you are serving because you just have a servant's heart. And like, hey, this is not my thing, but I am going to help. And I appreciate the heart to do that. But what I want to pray for these two things, okay? I want to pray for every team to be fully staffed. Because right now we're not. We've started rebuilding teams ever since we've been here. Okay, we have our nursery functioning. We've got kids functioning. We need, probably that's our biggest area is nursery and kids. All right? And we need leaders and gifts to emerge. That means God will send new people, but that also means some of you will recognize who you are in the body of Christ. Say, you know what, it's time for me to step up. Whether that's just serving or whether that's serving and leading. We need to pray for leaders to step up, for servants to rise, all right? And it's one thing to say, you know what, I'm willing to serve, I'm willing to shake hands or be friendly, especially if you're an extrovert. If you're an introvert, maybe that's not your thing. Hey, you can wipe down all the tops of the garbage cans and make them shiny before everybody come in. That's fine. You think I'm kidding. I would love it if somebody did that, all right? That way I don't walk by it, my OCD doesn't kick in and go, hey, why is there a smudge? You guys think I'm kidding. Ask the worship team about me straightening chairs before service. All right? But we need people to find their place. Because we all have different gifts. Okay, not everybody can see when the roads are crooked. I get that. But help me pray for these things, for the teams to be fully staffed. I know Pastor Sarah needs youth workers. All right, she desperately needs some men to invest in the lives of young men. All right? Listen, we've had people respond even in the last few weeks, and I'm grateful for that, but we're not where we need to be. Because I told you when I came, my goal is not for me to do everything or for Amy to do everything. We need to empower you guys to help lead this church, because it'll only happen if we do it together. Paul also writes about this concept in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in his letter to the church at Corinth. He says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? He says, so it is with Christ. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? Listen, I don't want Cornerstone just to be one leg hopping around Vermilion, okay? I want us to be a fully functioning body with everyone stepping up and everybody doing their part, okay? And again, that doesn't mean nobody's doing it. So those of you that are serving, don't take this the wrong way. Like, hey, what about me? I've been serving for years. Hopefully you guys understand what I'm talking about. There are people that need to rise up and lead, and there are people that are not here yet. We can't wait on them, but we can believe that God will send people. Listen, I know Jake and Jamie, they got people on their team trying to get here. Right? You guys be praying for them. Okay? They're trying to get here with Chi Alpha. They're trying to raise money. Let's pray for those guys. And we got a family coming. We got a young lady maybe in the works. But there are leaders that we haven't even met yet that I believe God will send here. Okay? Third thing that will help us in growing as a church. Contagious community. I know that sounds like a virus. But you know, in a positive way, it could work like that. I remember week two of All In, we talked about community, how community is not only for our growth, how we don't grow in a vacuum, we can't grow on our own. Because it takes other people to sharpen us, other people to spur us. Even though that's never fun, that is required for us to grow as people and as believers. And we also talked about how that can be a great tool for sharing the gospel if people see authentic Christian community happening in a body of believers. So this is what we're praying for. As we begin to launch life groups, we're praying for at least half the church to be involved in life groups. All right? And I don't know that that's even a big ask, but since we're new here, I'm the new guy, we're going to start it there. But I believe God can do more than that. Okay, we're going to pray that leaders and groups will multiply. We're going to start with one, and I believe by session two, we can have more than one group. Okay, we're going to do an eight-week session. I'm going to talk about a couple series on Sundays that will lend itself to some good discussion. And we are just going to be together. We're going to discuss Scripture. We're going to pray for one another. We're going to have fun. But we're going to grow together. And as we get to know one another, and I know some of you that's scary, you like to stay in your own little bubble, okay? Listen, if you're a dude, you can come and sit and stare at me in my basement. I'm working on my man cave. I really am, okay? And that's fine, all right? I won't force you to talk. But come, be a part of it, all right? I believe it'll be a huge tool in helping us grow. We're going to go back to Acts chapter 2, okay? The early church. We'll see how it describes this type of community in the early church. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Verse 47, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Listen, I don't think it's any mistake. It wasn't just a spectacular showing up of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, but then after that, as they saw the people of God, being the people of God, actively loving one another, being in community with one another, that was a huge part of their witness. That was a huge part of their message. Because what happens if we tell them that there's a God that loves them, you know, he sent his son Jesus to die for them, but then we act like punks I'm like, well, okay, well, the messages don't match one another. If they see us arguing and fighting all the time, the message doesn't match. If we are going to talk about a creator that loves them and sacrificed himself for them, we need to act like we like each other a little bit, right? Yes. Yes, we do. Thank you. We have so much fun here. Thank you, guys. And they said Northerners were dull. Yes, contagious community, it will validate our message. That doesn't mean we get along perfectly, because that's impossible, but they see us being quick to forgive, quick to move on, quick to love people actively, okay? Listen, if you have any questions about life groups, come talk to Amy or myself. Sign up out there. I mean, that's just a week from Wednesday, but we believe these will be a vital part of this church, all right, as we grow in relationship with one another. Great place to put new believers, surrounded with other people that'll pray for them, that'll help teach them, that'll help lead them, okay? A place where they can see the love of God in action, okay? Which brings us to our last thing, everybody's favorite topic. Number four, biblical generosity. All right, nobody leave yet. Kevin, lock the doors. All right. I like to hand out these pledge forms. I'm just kidding. I don't have pledge forms. Not yet. Listen, there's different types of generosity. I've talked about that before. Sharing of your time, that falls under serving. Okay. This would be more sharing of what you have. We see this also, if we go back to the early church. I mean, under they're kind of the gold standard of what a church should look like. All right? Verse 44 of Acts chapter 2, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Verse 32 of chapter 4 says, all believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. Does anybody have a car I can borrow today? I'm just kidding. Just see if you guys are... So with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was powerfully at work in them. So work in them all, so there were no needy persons among them. Well, that would be great, wouldn't it? Listen, I'm not going to ask for your stuff today or what you have to donate, okay? He goes on to say that from time to time, they would, if they owned land or houses, they'd sell it and they'd give to anybody that had need, okay? Now, if somebody wants to buy about half an acre, I have one behind my house I don't know what to do with, and I will charge you a whole lot for it, but that would really help the church. But this type of generosity, and this is biblical generosity, that contributed to that contagious community that they had, or they saw that there was a need. Like, what can we do to meet that need? But ultimately, that was about what can we do for the cause of Christ. Says they were in one heart and one mind. What were they unified about? What were they unified around? What was the unifying thing? It was the cause of Christ. I mean, they weren't unified about a motto of an organization, or they're like, we really like the vision and mission statement of the First Jerusalem Church of the Lord Almighty. Okay, no. I mean, it was the cause of Christ. They wanted others to know and experience what they had experienced. Before I tell you what we're praying for, and we'll talk more about it at the annual business meeting, but listen, we've not been covering our monthly budget as a church. Listen, this church, I know it's been a rough couple of years. We are rebuilding. We're moving forward. But just so you know, we're not where we need to be. Okay? That's one of the things we're going to be praying for. We've had to pull back commitments from missionaries that we had, that we committed to support. In fact, the missions that we're giving right now, we're not even covering. Okay? And so, before we all leave this as Debbie Downer, listen, this is what we're praying for. We're praying for $12,000 a month to come in by the end of the year. Our budget itself is about 10 grand. I mean, give or take the month and utilities, but that's an easy number to remember. All right? 12 grand doesn't even get us where we can add any additional staff or anything. That just gets us where we can pay our bills and have some money to try to do ministry and also to be generous with. Because the second thing that I want to get to is where we give at least 10% away a year. Church, we're not even close. And I'm really praying that we can restore those commitments to missionaries that we had before, because we, listen, doesn't mean it's anybody's fault, but we made a commitment and we were not able to keep it. I not only want to add more, I want to fulfill the commitments that we used to have as a church. I think that would honor the Lord. I think that would bless them. But church, that's where we need to get. And listen, the Lord is already moving upon people to give that haven't been givers. Listen, somebody outside this church, a friend of mine, donated a substantial amount of money. Before Easter, we are going to upgrade all of our AV stuff. We're going to upgrade the stage. So God's already moving on the heart of people that don't even attend this church. So this all sounds like pretty bad and pretty big stuff, but I'm telling you, it's going to happen. And my prayer is that you guys will be a part of it. Because God rewards faithfulness. He rewards generosity. All right? Listen, I believe tithing is a biblical thing, and I will teach more formally on giving at some point. Amy and I, we've always supported missionaries. We were up to about 9 right now that we support personally. Okay, that's above our tithe. There was a time when we were supporting 7 missionaries. Our tithe was literally 0 a couple years ago. We had months where it was literally 0. It was in between churches, trying to do whatever I could do to make ends meet. Our tithe was literally 0. Because 10% of 0 is, but we still supported our 7 missionary friends. We literally gave money we didn't have to them, and the Lord responded to that, and we never missed a bill. And honestly, we never had, you know, you hear some of these big financial testimonies of people, we never really had that until about 3 years ago, I'm going to be honest. But the Lord will provide for those and bless those who are generous to Him. And so this morning, my goal is not even convince you to tithe. I believe God will bless you if you do it. What I'm praying for is people that will start to hear the voice of the Lord. They'll say, what does Scripture say? What is the Lord saying to me? And what do I need to respond to? Because we have enough people in this house right now to do this. Okay? Before Easter, we need to upgrade the nursery in the kids' area. We got some big plans for that. Right now, there is no money to do that. And you'll hear me talk about it. I would love for 10 people to give me $100, and we make that happen. Okay? Listen, I've not really asked for much since I've been here. Listen, if you're a guest, I apologize. This is probably a weird Sunday for you, but just, hey, now you got to come back another week to see what we're normally like. Yeah. I don't think I have really asked for a financial favor since I've been here. I know I've been here about 4 months, but I don't have I? Am I lying? I don't think I have. So I'm asking some of you to ask the Lord, what can we do? Okay, I'm asking all of you to do that as we go forward, but nursery and kids area, we got to do something with that. All right? We're praying for $1,000 for that. But as far as for the year, to getting from where we're at to the end of the year at 12 grand a month, that's a huge thing. In November, we didn't even reach 6 grand. So some of you that have been here a while, hey, we have savings. Okay, we still have some. And I don't want to get into too many details, but we have it. And I'm thankful that there's a cushion. I believe we're going to grow, and I believe we will not have to use all that. Okay, so I'm not trying to, I just scared everybody. But we are in this together, all right? And I believe we can get there, and that would change a lot. I want to read a passage about this type of generosity, and it's really, I mean, I read it before, but I don't think I have ever used it in speaking about giving before generosity, and I would say it's probably not the most common one. Do you know, anybody know who King David was in the Old Testament? He was a king. Okay, I'm just making sure you guys followed that. Because if I lost you there, it's going to be a long next couple minutes. All right, King David really wanted to build a temple for the Lord, all right? He really wanted to build a permanent place where they could worship the Lord, right? Started in a tent, in a tabernacle. He wanted to build a permanent place for worship to the Lord, okay? This was ancient Israel here. David wanted to build it. God said, "Now you can't build that temple for me, David, because you done killed a lot of people." I'm paraphrasing it. Maybe that's how the Passion or the Message says it. I don't know, but I'm sort of paraphrasing that. But he said, "It's going to be your son that does this for you." And so David here in 1 Chronicles, guys, stop cheating, Michelle. Come on. We didn't do this in the first service. Okay. And they were more responsive than you guys. So David said, "You know what? I want to give my son a head start." He said, "Lord said, your son Solomon will be the one to build the temple for me." So David decides to take an offering. They didn't call it that then, you know. They didn't have black buckets. They passed around. But again, raising money, King David began fundraising, all right, for his son Solomon to help him with the temple. And I want you to see their attitudes and their response here. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. How many's already read this? Should I just close in prayer and go to lunch? Do you guys already read this? Okay. Verse 10. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we've given you only what comes from your hand." Listen, you want a biblical view of your wealth, whether you consider yourself wealthy or not? You want a biblical view of finances? That's it. Listen, these people saw giving to God's purposes as a privilege. And they saw themselves as stewards, as managers, instead of owners. Do you realize biblically you don't own what you own? You manage that for the Lord. Because he gave it all to you. That's a biblical view of generosity. And listen, it's really hard as Americans. We're so consumed with our own rights, okay? I love America, but it works against the church somewhat because we're consumed with individualism. We're consumed with our own rights. And there's a place for that. But viewing our stuff as our stuff is not a biblical view of our stuff. I know it's pretty complicated. I use a lot of big words there, but did you guys hear what I said? Yeah. Viewing our stuff is not a biblical view of our stuff. You know, you can't get that in a bigger church. They won't tweet something like that. That only happens here. But I love this. David is praising the Lord. He's acknowledging who God is, acknowledging his position. Said, "Everything comes from you. Wealth and honor comes from you. You're the ruler of all things. Therefore, you're the ruler of my finances. You're the ruler of my treasure." But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Listen, church, I'd love to be in a position where, like, you know, Lord's blessing us so much, we're going to give even more away. Okay? It's not about building the biggest, shiniest building on the block. As you grow, there are things that ministry requires, but I would love to be able to give even more away. All right? As a church, practicing tithing as a church, if not more. We're going to begin to emphasize missions every month. Okay, there will be an emphasis every month. That'll start next week. Okay, and so our prayer is that God will raise up people that will recognize Him as their source and recognize our role as stewards, as managers of what He's given us. Listen, it doesn't matter whether He's given us a lot or a little. It's all His anyway. The amounts don't matter. It's all His. And so my prayer is that God will raise up people that will live with His biblical generosity. So I'm going to ask my wife to come up and pray for this. It's on. Yeah. So join with us as we pray for biblical generosity, please.
Father God, we thank You for Your great faithfulness to us, God. We join with King David and we praise You for everything that You have given us. God, You have given us life and breath and everything we have. And if that wasn't enough, God, You sent Your own Son to die for us so that we could be reconciled to You, Lord. So I pray that all of our excuses would begin to fall away. That all of our excuses for not being generous with our money, with our time, with our talents would begin to fall away. God, I pray for people who are wrestling with fear over their finances. I pray that You would raise up in them a heart of trust in You, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, that they would be able to give without fear, knowing that You will supply all of their needs, God. I pray for those of us who have wrestled with selfishness, myself included, God, I pray that You would help us to begin to see everything we have as not ours, but Yours. That we would never doubt Your ability to fulfill our needs as we allow Your possessions to flow freely through our hands to the people who need them. God, that we would see ourselves as conduits, as stewards of Your blessings, that as You pour blessings on us, that we would use them to bless the church, to bless the community of Vermilion, to bless missionaries like Jake and Jamie and missionaries who go around the world and take the gospel to people that we will never see. God, I pray that we would begin to use our wealth to invest in Your kingdom, that we would lead our hearts by placing our treasure in what has eternal value, where moth and rust cannot destroy and where thieves cannot break in and steal. God, that we would store up treasures in heaven by investing in the kingdom of God, and that Vermilion would see Cornerstone as a church that is extravagantly generous, that they would say, how can that few people give that much money to this community and to the kingdom of God? That it wouldn't make sense to anyone because You bless us because of our extravagant generosity, Jesus. We ask all this in Your mighty and powerful and holy name. Amen.
Amen. You got a little loud there for a second. Yeah, we should upgrade that. Listen. We got a last question to ask you guys. First, I want to ask what you wanted this church to look like next year. My last question is, what are you willing to do? I will tell you right now, even with everything that we've said, our biggest need right now is for people to commit to pray for this church and to pray for these things. We will pray for these things over the course of this year. We will see them change, right? We've already seen a couple of these maybe begin to change as people respond in different ways. But I want us as a church to commit to pray for these four things over the next year.